Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a pleasure to stand before you again this evening and to try to present the gospel of Christ in its simplicity and in its purity. We're certainly thankful for those that are visiting with us. We're glad that you've seen fit to come out tonight and be with this humble band of disciples and study with us and pray and to sing with us. And we're certainly appreciative of your presence here tonight. Tonight, as been announced, we're going to discuss exceeding great and precious promises. And oh, what a wonderful title. And we'll see here in a moment where such title would even come from. But I want to talk about two objectives for us to consider. Number one, what are the exceeding great and precious promises? And 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So tonight, I'd like to accomplish at least two objectives. Number one, I certainly want to fulfill the title that was given, and I'd like for us to look at these. What are they? At least some of them. I'm not saying I'm going to go through everything, but certainly tonight we're going to be able to see what are some of the exceeding great and precious promises that we have. But then I thought about this as I was working at the lesson. I said, you know, what good would it do to sit with an intelligent group of people as yourself and to articulate, here are the great and precious promises? And then when you walk out the door, you're like, I wonder how I could even get a hold of them. What do I have to do that I can have them? And it's great for you to know what they are. But I want us also tonight to understand, how do I obtain these promises? You know, if I were to make a promise to you, but then make a stipulation like, I promise, I'm going to give you $20, but I need you to come mow the yard, or I need you to do this, or I need you to come pick it up. Well, you understand, that may not be a great example, but you could understand that there's some obligation, there's something that you must do that will allow you to obtain that promise. We realize what these promises are. One thing I'd like for us to notice is that the blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. We're going to look at this actually twice. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I want us to understand the necessity of being in Christ and how we sometimes use that term. Rich, don't know if he recognized it because he was too busy praying and I was listening to the prayer, but you mentioned the term in Christ at least three times. He said, we have salvation. You know what he said? Was you listening? He said, we had salvation, and thank you for the salvation we have in Christ. And as soon as you said that, I was up front, like, oh, yeah, this is going right along with tonight. And then just a little bit later, Rich continued to pray, and wouldn't you know it, he said, we're thankful for the hope. Remember, you said hope that we have in Christ. And then as he closed out the prayer, in his name, you said that, it was the last of that. But I want us to understand the necessity of this. We're going to be talking about blessings here tonight. We're going to be talking about promises. And maybe someone says, you're probably getting the cart before the horse. But I want to talk about how we're to get into Christ first as we look at these particular blessings and promises, because you're going to notice a certain message in these particular verses. So, let's take that and run with it. First of all, as you look at the entrance, Romans 6 and verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now you'll notice I've written this up here on the board because I'm going to allude to this, but as you go through slides, I can't be going back and forth. And for tonight, I want these verses to be kind of paramount in your mind. I don't want you to forget these verses, so therefore, I took the time to write them up here. Because as we talk and as we go through this list of promises, I want you to keep in mind, because these promises, exceeding great and precious, I want you to notice as we look at them that they articulate the words, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I just want you to keep those things in mind. Well, if that passage teaches anything, it teaches us this. And here's a chart I wanted us to notice. Is that baptism puts one into Christ. I'm going to prove and sustain tonight that these spiritual blessings, these promises are only for those in Christ. Now, I want you to notice, I've also put some other things up here, and I'm not suggesting at all that these things do not have to be done, for they do, and that is a fact. But it's important for us to understand with regards to the lesson, which is coming up here shortly, that we must be in Christ. Now, I'd like to ask you something. I know I must hear the word, Romans 10:17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I want to ask you something. Does hearing put me in Christ? You know, I've talked to a lot of people. Brother Keith has talked to people. No doubt many of you have tried to convert and to teach family and friends and loved ones. And you sit there and you plead with them. Here's what the gospel says. Okay, I heard you. Well, are you going to do something about it? Nah, it's just not my time. I don't want to do anything right now. Or it wouldn't be right. I don't want to do that. People hear the gospel all the time. People hear the message all the time. And I'm thankful for the message and the messenger. And I'm thankful that the person is willing to listen. But that's not my question. My question is this. Once someone hears the word and says, all right now, I hear the word, I heard every bit of it, I want to know, are they now in Christ? Just because you came and proclaimed the message. If I thought that, I wouldn't even preach to the congregation. I wouldn't. You see me in a van, and I just go up and down the streets with a big bullhorn, and I just say it. Everybody be listening. I don't care if they're in the shower, Rich. I wouldn't care what. They'd be out mowing the yard. Hey, remember, I'd tell them exactly what the message was. I said, no, you're in Christ now, like it or not. Well, that's not going to work. And you'll not find a passage in the whole of the Scripture that suggests that once you hear the precious message, you're in Christ. I want to go somewhere else. How about with belief? Now, I realize we're to believe. I could produce a plethora of passages right now that sustain that you must believe. And without belief, you will be eternally lost. We must have faith. I know that. I'll preach faith until the day that I die. That's still not my point. You must have faith in Jesus. I must have faith in Jesus. I will be lost without faith in Jesus. But even the devils believe and tremble, James 2:18. Not suggesting they have faith, but they believe, right? But not in the sense that we do. It was not an obedient faith, not an obedient belief, but they do believe that there is one God. But the point I'm trying to make is, you can believe all you want to. The question is, will belief put you in Christ? What if someone says, I believe in Jesus Christ? I believe Jesus Christ. Well, you're automatically in Christ. You know, I could go, and I don't want to do this, but I'm going to give a real coarse example. I could go down into New York City, and I could probably go into areas where there would be people that sell drugs, and I could say, hey, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I do. I believe. All right, that's good. You may ask a harlot. I'll use that terminology. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you know? I know for a fact that there are those that say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You can ask a murderer, do you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, I was raised such and such. I believe in Jesus. I tell you what, I don't want you to do this to fulfill this example, but you can walk into bar rooms. Don't do it. And you can look up on the bar stool and just say, hey, I just got a question. I got to go, do you believe in Jesus? And a person will have a look at you and say, yeah. You might run into somebody that says no, but they can say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And then, well, yeah, you're in Christ, brother. Give him one on me here. He's my brother. You're in Christ. Is he in Christ? Now, all I want you to do is produce a passage that shows me that if you believe, you're automatically in Christ. See, it's not in the Bible. Now, what about repentance? Do you have to repent? Yes. And I preach every one of these things. But I want you to notice that we're going to look at passages, namely these two right here, that show that you're baptized into Christ. And once you're baptized, you have put on Christ. Do we need to repent? Certainly. Luke 13:3-5 says, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by His authority there. So, yes, you have to repent, but that's still not the question. I know a lot of people that repent of a lot of things. I'll quit that. There's people out in the world that quit things sometimes. You know, it wasn't healthy. I had to give that up. I've had to change your heart on that. Oh, you don't do that anymore? No, I quit. You don't do that anymore? No, I'm spending too much money on that. I gave it up. All right, well, you repented. You've had a change of heart on something. You cease to practice of some particular item. But again, I'm not trying to be coarse. I'm not trying to be rude. But I'm very passionate, very emotional when I preach. I guess you can see that. I just don't have time to lollygag around with things. I've got 30, 45 minutes here. We're going to do it. Now listen. Find the passage for me. So I can go back to Vermont next Thursday and start preaching this. Where that if you'll repent, you're going to be in Christ. You look at the whole of the Bible, challenge any of you. Keith's out there listening too. Keith can't find one either. Good a man is he? He's not going to find a path where you repent and be put in Christ. I'll challenge him to. But it's not there, and he knows it's not there. Nor believe, nor hear. Now, you know, you've got to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And I realize that. You've got to do that. I'm doing good. Now, well, that's good. She gave me candy already up here, man. I'm going to need that in a few. You've got to confess Christ. The Bible says, if I turn over there, we got time. Y'all aren't in a hurry. Keith preaches till he gets done. So I'm going to do the same thing. Turn over to Romans. I'm doing a little extra tonight. I don't know you folks. When I'm home, I kind of know the audience a little bit, and I don't know if there's. I don't know as I look out. I don't know if y'all are all in Christ. I hope that you are, and certainly by the end of this lesson, I want you all to be in Christ. But when you look over here at Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I would never tell someone that you don't have to confess Christ. I want you to. You need to. You're commanded to confess Christ. But once you do that, you're not in Christ. You haven't put on Christ. I confessed Christ the other day. We haven't put on Christ. And you're not in Christ. So with these things in mind, let's jump into the heart of the lesson and we'll come back and discuss them. Well, we realize that baptism puts one in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We're going to look at all spiritual blessings here, or at least a few of them, in heavenly places in Christ. Do you want spiritual blessings? Do you want these exceeding great and precious promises? We're going to look at them here in just a moment. I want them. I want them for you. I know that you want them. But ultimately, as we look at this, we're going to come to the conclusion when we leave here that those are some great promises. Those are some great blessings. Those are wonderful benefits, and I want them. But they're only for those that are in Christ, you see. They're not for those that are outside of Christ. And the Bible does not so teach that you're outside of Christ and going to receive that. If it does, which it does not, I would ask you one question. What are you doing in here? If they're going to get the same thing you are, can you imagine going to work? Rich, we'd like to hire you down here. We're going to pay you $150,000 a year to work for us here in Hartford, Connecticut. And we have a firm. And of course, we're going to pay you the same thing. You don't have to show up to work, though. But we want you to show up, and we want you to put in 40 hours. He's like, wait a minute. Jim back here, he's getting the same pay I am. He doesn't even have to show up for work. He doesn't do anything. Yeah, we're going to give it to him too. We think, well, you know, there's something I have to do here. And I just don't understand that. So the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and these promises are for those his children. And let's look at that. All spiritual blessings. Well, the very first one I'd like to say is this. Redemption. Do you want redemption? Notice in whom we have redemption. Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In whom we have redemption. His blood. His grace. We know all of this here as we ponder this concept. Well, right here that we put on the board here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We can go over here to Romans 6. And look at verses 1 through 7 and understand that. In Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I want redemption. The world wants redemption. Go out and talk to them. Maybe not everybody, and I won't say that because some of them just don't care. I've got a father-in-law that just doesn't care. You know? And that's sad. You talk to people. I was talking to Brother Reeves about that last night, and I was trying to teach him some things one time, just trying to say, well, let's study the Bible. Let's study this. And finally, in fact, it's kind of funny. We were talking about baptism, and he frankly said this. He said, you know, and I don't know what he was going to say. He said, if I have to be baptized to go to heaven, I'll just go to hell. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Of course, he said that twice. He said that the first time, and later on we were talking about something. We weren't even talking about it. And he said, hey, big plug in the back. And he says, you know what? Because he's got a coffee can. He says, you know, I don't know. I think he was trying to goad me. Have you ever had someone just try to goad you, get you upset, but he couldn't do it? I didn't get upset. Why should I get upset? I know the truth. I'm going to share it with him, but you got free will. You can do it or not do it. I tell people all the time. Don't quit drinking for me. Sometimes when people find out, you know, you're preaching, they'll quit cursing. I'm sorry, Pastor. They'll call me Pastor. They'll call me this. I said, oh, no, I'm just God, son of God, you know. Why are you so worried about cursing in front of me? Or doing this and that, you know. You go to someone's house, they want to hide the beer. You know, preacher's here. Hey, man, I'm just a man. You know, come on. You better worry about what God says and what God thinks and be willing to please Him. But anyway, he sat there and says, you know what? I got to quit tobacco to go to heaven. I'll just go to hell. Real bold. One of the bravest men I've ever heard. Isn't that brave to say something like that? You can tell my sarcasm. One of these days, every knee shall bow. And you know what? You know, his knee's going to bow. And at that time, when he says the judge, he'll say, you know what, I didn't mean that. But it'll be too late. If there's anyone out here tonight that is not in Christ, I want you to know that the judgment day is too late to try to get into Christ. Amen. You've got to get into Christ tonight. You've got to get into Christ while it is time and while you have life. Because all those brave men, and you know, sometimes you hear it on television or the movies. You go out here, and you know, they Clint Eastwood, I don't know if it was him, I don't know who it is, I don't watch all that junk, but you know, they think it's so cool to say, see you in hell. It's like, hell, see you in hell. Yeah, you first, me too, or I'll be there. And let me tell you, one of these days, you've seen that, you know, they put me in, I'll see you in hell. And they're just so brave, and they have no idea what they're saying, and I know that. You nearly want to weep. Because they have no idea the horribleness and the pain and the suffering and the judgment that's going to come to them. Yes, I want redemption, but folks, redemption is in Christ. Redemption is not outside of Christ. How will you be redeemed outside of Christ? And if that were the case, there would be no need for hell, for we're all going to heaven, aren't we? We just look at the prostitute, we look at the drug dealer, we look at the murderer, we look at the wino, we look at this fellow, and say, man, you don't have to do anything. Thanks. That's water, isn't it? Just kidding, yeah. Get me fired up here in a minute. I want redemption. But redemption is for those that are in Christ, those that have come into contact with His blood. But let's move on here. We've got to roll. All right, forgiveness of sins. Very same verse. In whom we have redemption, we talked about that, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I want redemption. We talked about that. I want the forgiveness of sins. Folks, the forgiveness of sins is in Christ. You can't have the forgiveness of sins outside of Christ. If so, there is no hell. And if it was, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be the first person there. Because redemption is for everybody. You don't have to do anything. Redemption is for those that are in Christ, those that have been baptized into His death, those that have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. That's where we receive the forgiveness of sins. No one will receive the forgiveness of sins outside of Christ. Let me show you something here. Let's look at the blood, the baptism, and the blood connection. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." I like that. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Washed us from our sins in His own blood. Oh, that's good. I wonder if there's any other passage that would articulate such thoughts. Well, how about Acts 22:16? "And now why tarest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you see here? The blood washes away sins. And I try to explain to people sometimes. This is where you come in contact with the blood. You remember at the Exodus, well, I know you that you do. And you study there, and there Moses wanting to lead the children in that last plague. What were they supposed to do? Remember that? Think a minute. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're supposed to put that blood. The blood has to be applied, right? They had to put that blood over the doorpost. Now, I'm going to submit to you something tonight. God is not a respecter of persons. And if there was an Israelite, I said, you know what? We're His children. I mean, come on. He's after those Egyptian people over there. And you're laying in bed, you know, I could almost say, I'll just use y'all, you know, Tina and Lisa, right? Lisa. I go, no, okay, so we talk Tina. Well, you Tina and Jim here. Laying there, and you know, Jim, she put the blood over the door. No, I meant to do that before I laid down. You going to get up and put the door? Honey, we're God's children, you know. He's after the Egyptians over anyway. Those are the bad guys. What do you think would happen in the morning? I'm looking over at your firstborn there. There would have been some weeping in Israel. Folks, you're not saved until the blood is applied. Well, where's the blood applied? Well, is the blood applied upon hearing? No, if I thought it was, I'd grab a van. Me and Keith, we just go hollering all over the... here's what to do. The blood is not applied here. Must you believe? Yes. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are condemned. You must have faith in Jesus Christ. Is the blood applied? What if I decide to repent and change my life? I want to change it. I want to live for Jesus. I'm going to do exactly what Jesus says. That's good. We're proud of you. Is the blood applied? What if you decide to confess Christ tonight? We welcome you to do such a thing. But the question is the blood applied? The blood is not applied and the sins are not washed away until you are baptized. Arise. That's what He told there. Arise. And be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and that's where we come in contact with the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, let's look at another one here. What about that inheritance? "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Now, you know, that's another wonderful thing. I want that inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. Now, many of you may be thinking about an inheritance. I don't know. You know, a lot of people do. They wonder about that, especially if your parents have quite a bit of money. You know, they want to say, "Hey, I wonder if my and dad dies if I'm going to get that $500,000, $2 million, or this." A lot of problems over that. You know that? Lawyers deal a lot of times with cases that deal with that. I'm trying to think of the word I wanted to use there. But they try, what's that?
Estates.
Yeah, estates and stuff like that. And they try to break the will. There's another thing in there. They want to go in there and they want to just to overthrow that. Here's what the will is, and he left me out. Yeah, they want to contest it. I'm gonna contest that will. I'm gonna hire me a lawyer. My dad died and gave everything to my brother. Man, I thought he loved me. Well, yeah, I wanted that. I had an inheritance, and here it is. But you know what? There's many times that people may decide to leave someone out of their will because they didn't live right. Now, I don't know what we ought to do that. In fact, I got a lesson on that, but it wasn't on the thing this week. But I want you to ponder something here. What if a daddy said, "Now, son, I don't have a lot, but what I have, I'm going to leave to the church of Wallingford because you're not living right and you're not in Christ. And I'm just not going to do that and give you money to squander on wine, women, and song and just to do what you want to do because you didn't live right." Well, we look over here. Do you want that inheritance? Do you want to go to heaven? See, I want that inheritance. And I look and I say, my father's got a lot of money. Now, I didn't say my daddy in Florida. How about my father in heaven? He owns everything, and he has everything. I want that mansion. I'm not trying to say something literal here, but in John 14, Jesus there, he was on the night, he said, man, let me tell you, let me open up to John. Just for a second, I've got it. You come up with me. Yes, let not your heart be troubled if you believe in God. I forgot the first three words there. Let not your heart be troubled if you believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you into myself that where I am, there ye may be also. I want that inheritance. But there's stipulations. Now, you don't. Now, these guys, sometimes people get mad at God. I think my father-in-law gets mad at God, but I can't help that. God said, here's what you do. You want an inheritance? I've got. I want you to go to heaven. He does not want eternal punishment. He don't want you to be lost. He loves you. Loves you so much he sent his son to die for you and to shed his blood. I want you to go to heaven. But you got to live right. You got to worship me. And don't just worship me. Worship me the way that I want you to and tell you to. I want you to be saved. But I want you to be saved the way that I teach and tell you to be saved. Not the, you know, there's only two kind of doctrines in the world. There's the doctrines of men, Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And what do you want? Do you want the commandments of men or do you want the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9? You want to know what to do to be saved? We better do what Jesus said. I want that inheritance, but that inheritance are only for those that are in Christ. What about reconciliation? And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Reconciliation, redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to move on here for time constraints here. Let's look here. What about a new creature? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know, people try to tell me all the time that they're new creatures. Oh, I've been born again. I'm a new creature. I done put off that old man. And then as we begin to talk and to discuss, they're not in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, I want you to ask, let me look here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yet, I know that you must be baptized to be into Christ. You have to be baptized into Christ to put on Christ. You're not in Christ until you have been immersed. You're not in Christ until you've been baptized. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you've not been baptized, you're not in Christ. Therefore, you're not a new creature. You're an old creature, an old sinful creature. You haven't put off that old man yet with his evil deeds. You still got that old man. You got that old burden of sin. You're shackled to it. You're not a new creature yet. You won't be a new creature until you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then, and not until then, you'll be a new creature. Well, what's another promise here? How about salvation? Do you want it? 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Where's salvation at, folks? Is salvation outside of Christ? This is Saturday night. Is salvation up here at Hartford in the bars and the brothels where people are spending and will burn the midnight oil? Many of them won't even consider going home to 3 or 4 in the morning when they stop off at a Denny's or somewhere and have breakfast to try to sober up. I know what I'm talking about. Are they in Christ? Do they have salvation? It's for those that are in Christ, not for those that are outside of Christ. Yet in order for me to be in Christ, I've got to be baptized into Christ. There's no other way into Christ save baptism. That's what puts you into Christ, and you're not baptized. You're not in Christ until you are baptized into Christ, and salvation is not yours. Next. How about no condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation. I don't want to be condemned. When that day of judgment comes, I want him to say, Scott, come on in. Keith's in here waiting on you. And Lynn. Every one of you. I want to look out there and I want to look over and say, hey, I recognize y'all. We got together at Wallingford and ate some good food. Man, I tell you, I got fed up today, didn't I? That's an old Southern thing, fed up. Whew. We had a good meal over at their house. But I want to tell you something. I want to see your face again. I want us all to be together. I don't want to be condemned on that day. Let me tell you, you know what the saddest words you'll ever hear in your life? Not that the World Trade Center fell. That's sad. Oh, that hurts me. That's not that you know, your wife's just been killed in a car accident. Oh, I'd hate to hear that. And I know she'd hate to hear that of me on the way down. So she wants me to call. So let me know when you get down there safe. Your kids are dying of terminal cancer. I could give you sad story after sad story after sad story, and I bet if I worked hard enough, I can get you to cry. But ultimately, the saddest thing you'll ever hear in your life is depart from me. I know you not. Ye that work iniquity. Lawlessness. I don't want condemnation, but read it with me, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, is that right? Yeah. To them which are in Christ Jesus. And see, there's no condemnation in Christ, but I'm not really worried tonight about those that are in Christ because there's no condemnation there. Because if you're in Christ, you have salvation. If you're in Christ, you have redemption, reconciliation, you're a new creature. I'm worried sick about those that are not in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Baptism puts one into Christ. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. If you've not been baptized, you're not in Christ, thus condemned. Eternal life. I know you want eternal life. That's why you're here tonight. You're here tonight to hear lessons and to edify and encourage one another. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Well, where's that at? Well, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you want life or death, folks? So you get to make a choice for you. Live here, leave here tonight. You can walk out that door to death. You get on the other side of that door, you're in your grave. Eternal life belongs to those that's in the Son. That whole world out there is not in Christ. And again, you're not going to have eternal life by hearing only, but I'm glad you're here to hear. You're not going to have eternal life by belief only, faith only. The Bible does not teach that anywhere, but you have to have faith. You'll be lost without it. But it just doesn't say faith only. Just believe only. You just believe. That's it. You're not in Christ if you just believe only. You haven't come in contact with the blood. Repentance, confession, same thing. Do you want eternal life? Eternal life belongs to those that are in the Son that have Christ. I'm going to skip a couple of passages here. I was going to look at verses 1 through 14. But in John 15 and verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Christ, of course, speaking to his disciples there, namely his apostles. But I still want to articulate a message here for those that are in Christ, those that are in me. If you look at John 9:31. Well, I'll just quote that. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him He heareth. So we got to understand that if you're not in Christ and you're in sin, God's not going to listen to your prayer. You're not one of His sons. Not one of His children. You know when your children run up to you at night, "Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I want some ice cream. Daddy, I'd like to go." There's a while ago it happened over to Rich's house. Little girl coming in, "Daddy, and you want to go play with a neighbor over there. I want to be with a brother." All right. When your kids come, you listen to them. We have to have a relationship with Christ and be in Christ. And we don't sustain a relationship with the Father, and this is just about the way it is. Let me tell you. Let me give you a secular example. Let me jump on this. Can you imagine, and many of you no doubt have sons, and someone come up and said, "I'd like to befriend you. Rich, I'd like to put the fish and stuff together, but I'd rather just be me and you because I can't stand your son." That'd be strong words, wouldn't it? What do you think your daddy's going to do? He's going to say, "Well, I don't think me and you are going to be doing much fishing." He's going to say to him, "What do you say about my boy?" "Yeah, I don't like your boy." You see the point I'm trying to make out here? You want to try to have a relationship with God. The whole world's dying to have a relationship with God, and everybody wants to go to heaven. "I just don't want anything to do with His boy, son, Jesus. I don't believe in all that, you know." You have to have the Son. You have to be in Christ in order to have the benefits and the blessings. And if you want the prayer as a promise and a blessing, you're going to have to be in Christ. And the only way to get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. What about heaven? Look at 13 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to look at 16 here in just a moment. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead," where? "Dead in Christ shall rise first." Well, how do you get in Christ? You're baptized into Christ. So, if you've not been baptized into Christ, you're not in Christ. And therefore, the promises are not yours. But if you look here with me, I want to back up to verse 13. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, I don't know you out there tonight. Jack can preach real strong, you know. Because I don't know your situation. Keith might say, "Oh boy, you come on a little too strong." I don't know if I am or not. Y'all all may be Christians, for I know. I hope that you are. But I want you to know that in this particular passage, we have those that will die in Christ, and we have those that will die without hope. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them which also sleep in Jesus. Sleep where? They sleep in Jesus. They sleep in Christ. They sleep in Jesus, for they've been baptized into Christ. God will bring with Him. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know what? I hope I've comforted you with those words, but there may be someone here tonight who don't have that comfort. You're like, "Listen, those words didn't comfort me." Well, why didn't they? I'm not in Christ. Well, we're going to offer heaven's invitation here shortly, and you're welcome to be baptized in Christ, buried with Christ in baptism. You're welcome to put on Christ tonight. You're welcome to be clothed in Christ tonight. You're welcome to come in contact with the blood of Jesus tonight, and these promises will be yours. I want to go to heaven, and I want to have that precious rest. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." I want that precious rest. But folks, that rest belongs only to those that are in the Lord. I want you to notice some of these precious promises. They're great and wonderful. Spiritual blessings, redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and a wonderful inheritance, reconciliation. I can be a new creature, have salvation, no condemnation, eternal life. I can pray to my Lord. I can be in heaven to have rest. The question is, do you want these promises? They're yours for the taking, and you may take them tonight. I'd like to ask, are you in Christ? Baptism is necessary, very necessary, pertinent in order to put you in Christ. And we hope that you will give this some thought, realizing that if you are not in Christ, you're in an undone condition, and that these promises are not directed to you. We've talked about some wonderful things tonight. But for those who are not in Christ, I have yet not discussed the promises. For there are no promises. These promises tonight are for those that are Christians, those that are in the body, those that are in the kingdom, those that are saved, those that are part of the bride. Whatever word you want to use, those are all biblical words. and talking about the church and the kingdom there. For those that are not in Christ, the only thing I can tell you tonight is an eternity in hell, being lost without the precious blood of Christ. If we could help you, if we could assist you to become a Christian, if we could help your walk at all tonight, if we could help you to be in Christ, all things are ready. I know that we have a baptistry back here. They've reformed them. We can baptize you into Christ tonight, and you can leave here a live man, not a dead man. One that's alive in Christ, and one that's waiting and willing to go to heaven. If you're a Christian, we hope, and maybe you've stained your garments in some way. We use that terminology. You've sinned in some way. You've done some wrong things. If you need us to pray for you, we'd love to. We'd like for you to ask God's forgiveness. But for the rest of us, we're going to continue to stand on the promises as together we stand and sing.